When Washington voters legalized recreational marijuana last fall, they handed the state's Liquor Control Board a regulatory nightmare. There's no manual for how to create a safe and legal market for pot, something that's never been done before. State Representative Roger Goodman, speaking after a recent meeting on marijuana legalization, says the giggle factor is gone.
Initiative 502 largely is about making marijuana boring, because who cares about all this detailed technical regulatory stuff? Well, that's what it's all about, is to get down into the weeds, so to speak.
No pun intended. Correspondent Austin Jenkins recently embedded for a day with state regulators as they learned about everything from extracting THC to testing for mold.
Inside a secret location in the Georgetown neighborhood of South Seattle, Brent Miller shows off a dark room. It's called a bloom room, full of maturing marijuana plants.
This is just when they're asleep. We run them 12 hours on, 12 hours off.
12 hours of daylight under 1,000-watt grow lights, followed by 12 hours of nighttime for 8 to 9 weeks until the buds are ready to harvest. Miller grows pot for a large medical marijuana cooperative in the Seattle area. He's invited a group of representatives from the Washington Liquor Control Board to see his operation. Among them, Mike Steenhout, a former state budget analyst.
So are these mother plants?
These are mothers, yeah.
Steenhout heads the Liquor Board's research team. His full-time job these days is to learn the marijuana business from seed to market, inside and out. He wanted to come here to see how they grow healthy plants. He peppers grower Brent Miller with a list of concerns.
Of course, pesticides, pest control, mold control, and kind of fungicides, herbicides, pesticides. Trying to learn more about that. I've noticed a lot of folks take a completely organic approach. Yeah. Just trying to learn a little bit about that. That's becoming kind of a challenging issue.
Under Washington's new marijuana law, the Liquor Control Board will have to write the rules on everything from proper pesticide application to how to recall contaminated marijuana products. Again, Mike Steenhout.
Ultimately, it's about, you know, quality assurance is what I'm looking at.
Let's take just one of the thornier issues. In the marijuana business, it's common to use solvents like butane to extract THC from the buds and leaves of pot plants. Jim Anderson, with a company called Extracted, admits he did this illegally for years. Now he does it for the medical marijuana industry. Anderson shows off a stainless steel contraption with valves and hoses coming out of it.
So when this tube is in vacuum, there's a hose that's hooked to our source tank.
Done right, butane extraction produces high-potency hash. Done wrong, and you can trigger an explosion or produce a solvent-laced final product. The Liquor Control Board staff has come here to learn how Anderson safeguards against both problems. In another room, he proudly pulls out a wax paper-covered sheet of the extracted product.
Can you smell that aroma?
It smells like very powerful marijuana. And it is. This oily yellow smear, picture a very thin cow pie, is butane-produced hash oil, or BHO. This particular strain is called Plushberry. Anderson says the THC level in this stuff is nearly 80%. That's really high. In its final form, it's often smoked or vapor inhaled. Anderson hopes the Liquor Control Board writes strict rules for extracting THC out of marijuana. He says in the illegal market, people sometimes use lighter fluid. They call it blasting tubes. He adds any product headed to the legal market needs to be tested for residual solvent.
Every time, whether you're a backyard tuber blowing it and blasting it, or you're a professional extracting company above board, you need to have testing, period.
And that's where marijuana testing labs come in. In Seattle's University District, the Liquor Control Board staff is treated to a PowerPoint horror show, under the microscope pictures of things you don't want in your pot.
We have a mite here, which is not uncommon, and some remains of mites.
Randy Oliver is with a cannabis lab called Analytical 360.
Another problem that we've seen is there's a lot of mold, you can imagine, here in Washington.
Mites and molds aren't the half of it. There are all the foodborne pathogens the people who handle the marijuana can leave behind, like E. coli. Oliver's lab tests for those dangers, too. But he says just like in the food business, there's no replacement for strict handling and processing rules. Whether the marijuana eventually ends up in a pipe, a brownie, or a liquid drop you place under your tongue.
You know, cleanliness is really critical here. The equipment has to be clean, the facilities have to be clean, and everything needs to be documented properly.
The problem is there are no national standards for lab testing marijuana. Mike Steenhout of the Liquor Board calls it the Wild Wild West, and it's not like he's getting help from the FDA. Marijuana is still a no-no at the federal level, so Steenhout and his colleagues have to build the regulatory structure for legal marijuana in Washington from the ground up. They've hired a team of consultants and will borrow from the rule books for places like commercial kitchens. At the end of a long day, I asked Steenhout if this is daunting, complicated, overwhelming.
I'd use all of those words. It's like an onion. Every time that we pull a layer off, there's just another layer of complexity and information to learn.
In the end, the Washington State Liquor Control Board will have to balance the need to regulate this new industry against the cost of doing so. As the state's new pot consultant says, it's a Goldilocks problem. Too much regulation will drive up the price of legal marijuana and encourage a black market. Too little, an unsafe pot will reach consumers. I'm Austin Jenkins reporting.